What's up, creamers?
Creamers.
As far as I can legally prove, I'm Sammy Daddy. Crazy. Crazy for feeling so lonely. I'm crazy. Crazy for feeling so blue. And I'm here to talk to Turkey, like Ted Turner, about some professional wrestling.
Why do we want to blow ourselves up? I mean, I know some people might want to, but I don't think the majority do. God help us if we do, then let's go ahead and do it.
My downward spiral into insanity continues as I look at some of the strangest and solve some of the strangest wrestling creamspiracy theories. Tough to bring down like an overrate running back, the John Cena quote of the week. And if you eat all your dinner, I'll leave a little room for cream. All that on this episode of Wrestle Crew. Creamers.
Creamers.
Good news, bad news. Good news, me. Bad news. Hot Joe still hasn't made it to Portland, Oregon. But rumor has it, he's closing in, and he should be with us next week, which I look forward to as much as you probably do. Because I'm going to be honest, I'm kind of losing it over here. I'm wearing the same thing as last week. I smell the same as last week. I've been standing in the same spot since last week. It's not going well. Even the wrestling I watched, I only watched Monday Night Raw and one match that I'll talk about later. And that's all I could do because I can't concentrate. My mind is moving a million miles an hour because Hot Joe is not in Portland and he's not here. And you don't cream alone. You have to cross creams.
I love it, creamy.
That's the way it's supposed to be, but it isn't that way. So it's making me go a little, you know, I don't know what words I'm supposed to use, but it's not going well. But yeah, so I didn't have a lot of time to watch a lot of wrestling. So I can't even concentrate on that right now. I'm worried about my buddy, but I was able to get the Hot Joe tracker working again. And I have a slight update. So let me get that pulled up for you. Do you hear the typing? So, as of me, the time I'm recording this and the time you're listening to this, the official Wrestle Cream Hot Joe tracker has Hot Joe. So, he got lost somewhere. I can't remember what I said last time. Was able to get the Hot Joe tracker back up. He went past Portland. So he was south. And just somehow he must have missed his exit. And he's got to turn around or something. I don't know. But he is currently, or at least as the last update I got on the Hot Joe tracker, is he's in Torrington, Alberta, Canada at the Gopher Hole Museum. The Gopher Hole Museum, as far as I can tell, is just a small little museum of taxidermied gophers doing normal everyday acts that like people would do, like getting their mail or fishing or things like that. But it's not people doing it; it's taxidermied gophers doing it. So I feel like the term museum is being used a little loosely here, but that's Hot Joe's last known whereabouts. It's closer to Portland than he was like a couple weeks ago, I guess. So hopefully that fixes itself. I don't know. I need it. And I'm just worried about the guy. So I guess if there was a positive to come out of this, whatever my head's going through right now is it's got me thinking different, and I think I solved some long time going conspiracy theories, some that you probably know, some that you might have not even realized were a thing. There's a lot of, with wrestling being the way it is, there's a lot of, what do they say, rumor and innuendo about what really happens and what's really going on and what are they letting us know that's real and what are they letting us know that isn't real and blah, blah, blah. I got to the bottom of it. I felt like It's Always Sunny, where Charlie's in the mailroom when they get jobs or whatever it is, that now it's just a conspiracy theory. I mean, people probably don't even know it's from that, but still. So that's how I feel, and that's how I'm going to break down and solve four, one, two, three, four theories for you this week. But before we get into that, here's a word from our advertisers. Hey, Creamers.
Creamers.
Sammy Daddy here. And today I'm excited, honestly, honored, to tell you about a product that has straight up changed my life. The Drip Jack. Now listen, I'm a busy guy. I've got things to do. Every day I'm juggling work, meal prep, reorganizing my sock drawer by softness, alphabetizing my sauces, logging the birds I think might be watching me, wiping down every doorknob in my house twice an hour, maintaining my dad's rock collection, checking on my neighbor's wind chimes to make sure they're behaving, testing my smoke alarms even when guests are over, sorting my thoughts into labeled sandwich bags, whispering encouragement to my houseplants, updating my map of places where I felt weird, polishing my many, many belt buckles, monitoring the hallway shadows for inconsistencies, and running daily simulations of what it must feel like to give birth. It's a full schedule, a packed schedule. I don't always have time to slip away and use a bathroom like some 1800s pioneer. I'm not Lois and Clark, for God's sakes. So yeah, I use a catheter, specifically the Drip Jack, the stylish catheter for men who are simply too cool, too active, too engaged with life to stop what they're doing and run off to a toilet. This thing is incredible. Beautiful, really. It's not beige like the boring old catheters your pussy grandpa used to use. It comes in sea glass green, midnight chrome, and my personal favorite, sea glass green. But the real star is the Microjet warm air nozzle, the built-in mini blow dryer that activates automatically when drippage occurs. And believe me, it occurs. Just last week, I bent over to tie my shoe and felt that tiny, unmistakable after drop. Before I could even react, the Microjet fired up, gave me that warm little of air, and boom, all dry. Another time, I was at the farmer's market sampling pepper jellies. I laughed too hard at an old man falling over and being stung by dozens of yellow jackets and, yeah, had a little drip. Not a crisis. Drip Jack sensed it, handled it, kept me moving. And look, man, my life is only getting busier. Between rotating all my chairs so they face true north, brushing the dust off my light bulbs, updating my emergency list of people I trust with a dark secret, measuring my windows to make sure they haven't grown, logging every time a dog looks at me, refolding my towels, practicing how I'd greet a clone of myself, checking my pockets for items I've never owned, tracking which corners of my house hum at night, wiping down every doorknob in my house twice an hour, realigning my rugs after they migrate overnight, listening to my fridge for coded messages, warming up my smile in the mirror before public use, and meticulously counting my steps to ensure they're all the same length. I simply do not have time for bathroom interruptions. Which is why I'm thrilled, thrilled, to announce the premium upgrade, the Drip Jack Plus. For men who refuse to live in the splash zone, the Drip Jack Plus comes with a storm drain turbo fan offering three new drying modes. Soft breeze for casual daytime drips. Business lunch for when you're wearing nicer pants. Recreational blast for, honestly, everything. I use this one constantly. It's powerful, it's warm, it's everything. You also get the Floatel audio indicator, which plays tiny polite bell sounds to notify you of your hydration levels. Yesterday I heard a little ding dong at the post office. That was my Drip Jack Plus telling me, great job, buddy, you're drinking plenty today. And then there's the Mood Glow Illumination Chamber, a soft internal LED that pulses gently to let you know things are flowing as intended. It's honestly beautiful. Sometimes I admire it in the dark. So, creamers, head to dripjack.com and use code SAMDRY for 10% off your Drip Jack or Drip Jack Plus and a free packet of Drip Jack XL nozzle wipes for those moments in life when a man needs wiped. Stay dry out there, creamers. I know I am. The fuck was that? Drip Jack. Drip Jack Plus. I'm going to be honest. I don't know if you should go to the dripjack.com. Creamers. We're back. Like I said, I'm not doing too well on my own here. The solo Sammy shows are slowly slipping my sanity somewhere south. And it's made my brain work in different ways, and it's made me start thinking about conspiracy theories and what I like to call them, creamspiracies. And obviously I thought of wrestling ones, and I've been able to see them in a different light than I saw them before, and I think I solved most of them, or at least have something that I consider comparable to an answer, and that's really all you need. So there's plenty of these. Please comment your favorite creamspiracies below and we can cover them and I can get you an answer, because I think doing these shows by myself has rewired my brain. It's the Drip Jack or that. And I can see the writing on the wall. I can see things I didn't see before. I can hear things I didn't see before. I can smell things I didn't see before. You know what I'm saying? So let's, for example, here's one that I could probably put a little more legwork in, but I think the work's been done. And it's Hulk Hogan's black eye from WrestleMania 9. We all know that one. We've all seen it. It's a weird, it's kind of off-putting and not. It's one of those, you kind of look at it, but you don't want to look at it. Car accident, train wreck kind of deals. But yeah, April 4th, 1993, WrestleMania 9. Hulk Hogan had an impromptu match and won the WWF Championship from Yokozuna, but what really had everybody talking was this weird black eye he had. Just gross looking, nasty. I don't know. I didn't like it. Still don't like it. But the reason in front of the camera that was given for that black eye was also on WrestleMania 9, Hulk Hogan and his tag team partner Brutus the Barber Beefcase were facing Money Inc. in a tag team match. And Money Inc. used their money, Million Dollar Man and IRS used their money to hire some goons to try to take out Hulk Hogan before the match, and obviously they got a good one in, but they didn't get the job done because Hulk Hogan was there and fought twice, so whatever. Personally, if I was Money Inc., I would have went for Brutus the Barber Beefcake. Feel like it's an easier target, you get to do a two-on-one, but whatever, that's neither here nor there. This was a long time ago, what do I know? The actual story, well, I'll say it this way. Hulk Hogan's actual story, which, as we know, he's known to embellish or just bold-faced lie or just be incorrect about stories and how he remembers things. But according to this, and it's corroborated by Brutus the Barber Beefcake, who was supposed to be there, it was a jet skiing accident. Hulk Hogan was out zooming around with his bros. It kind of, in my head, it's similar to, isn't it, what is it, Zoolander, where the male models are doing like the gas station, they're playing with the gas and they're spraying it all around and Wham's playing. So I think it's similar to that situation, because I believe it was Hulk Hogan, somebody, Brutus, Barber Beefcase, I think in one story he said Macho Man was there. Something happened, Hogan says he switched to somebody else, whatever, he didn't know what he was doing. The jet ski got away from him. He gets thrown from the jet ski. This happens, that happens. He's got a life jacket on. He can't get under the water to dodge it. Jet ski hits him right in the face, breaks his face. Orbital bone, stitches, things like that. Then he proceeded to explain to the WWF's doctors that it was fake. Part of the storyline. Let him wrestle, brother. So whatever, that's his story. The creamspiracy aspect of this is for, since probably back then, people have said the Macho Man Randy Savage punched Hulk Hogan in the face because allegedly Macho Man and Miss Elizabeth weren't getting along. Miss Elizabeth was friends with Hulk Hogan and his wife at the time, Linda Hogan, and Macho Man didn't really appreciate that, so they think he punched him in the face. Obviously, I wasn't there. You weren't there. It doesn't seem like anybody was there when this allegedly happened. But there's two people that believe Macho Man. One of them is Scott Steiner, somebody we talk about on this show pretty regularly. And Scott Steiner was a good friend with Macho Man, and he said that's what Macho Man told him happened. And the other person is Bret Hart, who's somebody else we like on this show. And half of our official colors are because of Bret Hart. And Bret Hart says he doesn't know what happened, but he believes the Macho Man. So I think that creamspiracy is easily solved when you realize Scott Steiner and Bret Hart wouldn't lie. That's all you need to know about that one. Does Hulk Hogan lie? Yeah. There's our good friend Gregory Iron on his podcast, Iron on Wrestling, has a regular segment of the Hulk Hogan lie of the week, where he will play a clip of Hulk Hogan or read a quote from Hulk Hogan and then explain why it is such a lie. It doesn't even make sense. And it's such a good segment, a lot of other places have stole it. But if he lies so much, Bret Hart is just grumpy. I mean, he might be, I don't know, because he's talking about Shawn Michaels and Vince McMahon being lovers and Ultimate Warrior, I think, and Vince McMahon being lovers. And yeah, so, but maybe we cover that another time. But this is solved. Hulk Hogan's black eye is from Macho Man punching in the face because Scott Steiner and Bret Hart said they believe the Macho Man. Easy. See? Get it? But here, I got another one for you. This is one that you've probably never even heard of. We're all familiar with the Royal Rumble. Probably the most anticipated match every year. The excitement, the surprise, the prize of getting the main event WrestleMania for a title. Who doesn't love it? I'll tell you who doesn't love it, and I'll tell you why, but I'll explain how I got to that before I tell you the person, because I need you to keep listening so I can tell you the person later. Do you know the average length of the men's Royal Rumble is 56 minutes? I do. I did the math. It's around 56 minutes. Do you know that the 1995 Royal Rumble was 38 minutes and 41 seconds. It's the second shortest Royal Rumble ever, with the exception of the original. Pretty strange, huh? Most men's Royal Rumbles, and most of the women's as well, but we're only counting the men's in this time. Most of the men's Royal Rumble are 50 minutes or more. 50 minutes to 70, 80 minutes is your longest, but nothing less than 50 minutes besides the 1995 Royal Rumble. Why is that? I'll tell you why. The 1995 Royal Rumble had a little more on the line. Something different, something that's never been on the line in a Royal Rumble before, and that something on the line was Pamela Anderson. Pamela Anderson booked that Royal Rumble to be short because she didn't want to be out there. Can you believe that? Pammy Andy? She wanted to hang out with Shawn Michaels. She ended up hanging out with Diesel. Everything's crazy. But that was the shortest Royal Rumble, and the reason it's so much shorter than the rest is because of Pamela Anderson. I don't know what that means, but I know that it's true, and it's a fact, and I did the math. And the last thing had Scott Steiner. This has math. Do that math. Steiner math. Cream math. Cream vision. Cream division. Cream application. The sum of all creams. I don't know what I'm talking about. And I don't know what that last one really means, but for some reason, Pamela Anderson was the reason that the 1995 Royal Rumble was so short. But I have more for you. And I know you've heard about this one. Goldberg You ever hear about Bill Goldberg? We were talking about Bret Hart before. Now we're talking about Bill Goldberg. Do you see? Do I need to put a board up to connect these lines for you? I hope not. Bill Goldberg, his biggest, the biggest thing about his career is that he was 173-0 before suffering a defeat in WCW. But what if I had two truths? Two truths and a lie. The lie is that he was 173-0. Technically, about 2.5 months before he made his TV debut, he lost. He lost a match to Chad Fortune. Bet you didn't know that, because I didn't know that or remember if I heard it, but I feel like that would be a thing that was out there, but I didn't know, but I fucking found it out now for you. So technically, if you're counting dark matches, his streak was 2-0. Not so impressive, is it? But that's fine. I'll play your game, WCWC. He didn't really wrestle until he showed up and beat up Hugh Morris that one time or whatever. Fine. Well, guess what? Everybody says that number was inflated. See, you got to look at stuff the opposite way, then flip it back, and then reverse it, and then it's the right way, I think. Or is that backwards still? It's like if you make three lefts. Anyway, Goldberg, from his debut to the day before his streak ended to Kevin Nash at that pay-per-view when Scott Hall did the thing, you know what I'm talking about? Between Goldberg's debut and his streak ending, there was 411 WCW events. I find it hard to believe that Bill Goldberg only wrestled at 173 of those. Okay? I know people are going to say, oh, no, the number, they just added it. He would get like 5 in a week. Guess what? He worked up multiple matches at things. I remember that night he beat Hulk Hogan for the belt in Atlanta, Georgia. I think he... Was it the first match of the night? Probably not. It was probably top of the hour, but I don't remember. He fought Scott Hall and Hulk Hogan that night. That's two there. You don't think he did that more than once against these other jabronis? I'm sure he did. So while I can't explicitly confirm that this is the exact number of the streak, everybody likes to say how the streak isn't 173-0, but they like to say it's less. I am on record. Put it on vinyl. That Goldberg's WCW record was more. And I'm willing to say that his record before his loss to Kevin Nash at Starrcade was 420-0. Bill Goldberg doesn't like Matt Riddle. And Matt Riddle was kind of like your knockoff RVD with the bro stuff. And then Goldberg was 420-0. It's long-term storytelling. Or it's creamspiracies. I don't know. You decide and tell me in the comments if I'm on to something or if I need to get on something. Anyway, lastly, I got one more, and this is the big one. And this one is going to blow your minds. This is another one that I'm sure you've heard, but you haven't heard it the right way because you haven't heard it from here. And you're hearing it now. Ultimate Warrior. Just one of the most popular wrestlers of all time. There's always the rumor that there was two Ultimate Warriors. That he died back in the early 90s in 92. But what if I told you that that's absolutely ridiculous? And there was not two Ultimate Warriors. What would you think? Would you feel silly? Would you be, oh my gosh, this whole time they always said there was two and they kind of looked different or whatever. Da, da, da. Wake up, people. Wake up, creamers.
Creamers.
There wasn't two Ultimate Warriors. There was five Ultimate Warriors. One, two, three, four, five. And I'll explain it to you. People say that, like I said, the Ultimate Warrior died in 1992. He did. He did die in 1992. And then in 1993. And then in 1995. And then in 1997, and then in the early 2000s, and most famously in 2014. Yeah. Do you start to, are you understanding yet? Let me delve into it a little bit more. So he made his WWF debut in June 1987. Dingo Warrior, whatever his name was, Blade Runner Running. Blade Runner Warrior Runner. I don't remember. You know what I'm saying, though. That's all one guy. That's the first warrior. So, that warrior, he originally, the original warrior, we'll call him. We'll call him Warrior One. The one year. He died in 1992. It was from, he died from his armbands. They cut off his circulation because they were too tight in his tassels and stuff. So be careful. You don't want your armbands to be too tight. Or any bands. Just don't want your stuff to be too tight because then you'll die. And that's bad. So that's how he died. Original warrior. Dead. 92. Age of whatever he was in 1992. So, the warrior that came back in 1992, because I believe Warrior left WWF at the end of 91 and came back in 92. The one that came back in 92, Warrior 2, we'll call him. Warrior 2 that came back in 1992, it was just a rushed clone. And that's why he was only there for less than a year. It just didn't work. The technology wasn't there, and it was rushed. So he was like weird, melty goo thing. It was like it was good at first, but that's why he looked different, and that's where this rumor originally started, is like the clone didn't look right. So people thought this is a different warrior, and they were right. So technically, I guess those people were right. They just don't know. They didn't keep digging. They were digging, and they found a little bit of gold, and they went, that's good. I'm going to go home. I got some gold. They could have kept digging and got more gold. Because that's what you're getting here. I feel like it. Maybe. Anyway. So, yeah, he got melty, like he looked at the Ark of the Covenant or something like that. So they had to get rid of that one. They took him out back. But that's why he was there for less than a year. So then, you might remember, Warrior returns in 96. 4 years later, the technology has improved. They've been working on this. It's a more refined clone. It's better. It can last longer. Everything's supposed to be fine, right? Everything's good now. We're on Warrior. We'll call this one Warrior 3. This Warrior is good. This is cool. Everybody's happy. Nope. Wrong. This one only lasted about 3 months. And the reason it only lasted 3 months is, so he comes back in 96. June 25th, 1996 is this warrior's last appearance. You know what happened 10 days later? Dolly, the sheep, the first cloned animal in the world, is made. And how did they do that? They took that warrior. They had to break him down chemically through a process and use that to help clone this sheep. Because it was important that they cloned this sheep. It was probably like Illuminati stuff, maybe. I'm not really sure. But yeah, Warrior was sacrificed pretty much to make sure that we can make Dolly the sheep. The cloned sheep. Was Dolly the real name of the sheep? Like the first sheep? Or is Dolly the name of just the cloned sheep? And what sheep was it cloned from? Or was it cloned from multiple sheep? See, I didn't look into that part. But yeah, so the Ultimate Warrior, the 90, Warrior 3 was destroyed to make Dolly the sheep. If you don't know about it, look it up. They cloned a sheep, I guess. I don't even know. Maybe they just had another sheep and they just said, we cloned this one. Anybody think of that? I did, right now. Warrior 4. This is the one that showed up in WCW for a minute. So, 1998, the Warrior shows up. This was a Ted Turner-backed reproduction. This was made possible because they, unlike a good huntsman, the people that sacrificed the warrior to make Dolly the sheep didn't use all the pieces. Ted Turner was able to pull some strings, get his hands on some Warrior 3 clone pieces to make Warrior 4, but he didn't know that it was a clone. Ted Turner thought it was the original warrior, and everybody knows that you can't clone a clone, so that's why everything just went to shit there. He thought he was cloning a legitimate, real... He thought he was cloning Warrior 1, which would have been fine, but he was cloning the clone of a clone, pretty much. So, like, that's not good. That's not going to work. Like, everybody knows that. And it was just little weird pieces of him. So, yeah, that's never going to work. So, that's why that went to shit. So, they just took him out back and shot him. And then, for Warrior 5... That was actually the original Ultimate Warrior. So that's Warrior 1. So the Warrior 5 is also Warrior 1. They brought Warrior One back to life so that they could put him into the WWE Hall of Fame. And they were able to just juice him enough to get him for, like, that weekend or whatever, because, like, he was there, and then he was at Raw, and then he died again the next... So that was the original Warrior. So technically, there's been four Warriors, I guess. But I thought five. But five because, like, the one got brought back. So it's kind of confusing, but it makes sense if you think about it. So, original Warrior died in 1992 because his armbands cut off his circulation. Warrior 2 was a clone that was rushed, so it just, like, fell apart. Warrior 3 was a better clone, but they had to destroy it so they could make Dolly the sheep clone. Warrior 4 was made by Ted Turner, but it was a clone of a clone, and that just doesn't work. And then Warrior 5 was the original Warrior brought back to life. But all the juice that they juiced him with just made his heart give out in a parking lot in Arizona, I think. So, yeah. So I hope that clears it up for you, that there was not two Warriors. There was four to five, depending how you look at it. And also, Goldberg streak was 420-0. Pamela Anderson is the reason that the 1995 Royal Rumble was so short. And the Macho Man Randy Savage punched Hulk Hogan in the face. That's my headspace. So I hope that gave you a little glimpse into what I've been dealing with, Creamers.
Creamers.
But what's your favorite Creamspiracies in wrestling? Tell us. Comment. Email us. HotJoe@WrestleCream.com. SammyDaddy@WrestleCream.com. That's the email. Russell.Cream. On Instagram. Is that Sammy Daddy on Instagram? Comment, DM us. Whatever. Let us know. We can cover them. We can talk about it. We can solve these mysteries. Creamspiracies, conspiracies, whatever. But now I think it's a melancholy John Cena quote of the week. Always be a work in progress. My match count for 2025, the year of our lives, is 699 matches. I didn't do very many matches. I did Raw, and it was whatever. It was fine, whatever. But the one match I watched besides that was I went on to cagematch.net. Wonderful website. It gives me a lot of information. It did help me with a lot of the creamspiracies there to find some time frames of stuff. Hopefully I didn't screw it up. I didn't. I did, like, I researched it a lot, like, more than I probably should have for how that turned out. But the other thing I looked up was John Cena. And I was curious what his highest rated match on Cage Match was. And you could probably guess what it was. I probably should have wrote down what it was rated, but it was very high nines, very close to a 10, which I was surprised that it was that high, that he had any matches that high, but I understand. I'll tell you right now, his lowest rated match, that he has a lot of matches that aren't rated. Lowest rated match was him versus Michael Cole from a Monday Night Raw. Stay tuned for that. That might be something we talk about soon. But that wasn't my match of the week. My match of the week was his highest rated match versus CM Punk at Money in the Bank 2011. I don't think there's, like, a lot I need to say about it. It's the match where CM Punk won and left. I forgot, I believe, unless I'm mistaken, that was the last time he had that Kill Switch Engage song, which I always really liked and thought was cool. And then when he came back is when he started using Cult of Personality again. And I always felt that since that happened, since they would have the Kill Switch Engage song in the video games, that I could have let my guy was allowed to use that. So that became my theme song in a lot of the games. Because I don't like the generic ones, and I don't want other people to have one. I don't want to use, like... I'm not going to use the Shield's theme song. I'm not in the Shield. I'm not going to use Kane's theme song. I'm not Kane. So, whatever. But yeah, I think you could understand why that was my match of the week. I haven't watched it in a long time, and it was the Chicago crowd. John Cena doing his thing. Vince McMahon was there. Probably a couple of creamspiracies about that guy. And it was just good. It was a good match, and it was better than anything that happened on Raw this week, for sure. So... that's my match of the week. But what usually I'm not able to plan ahead or know, but this Saturday is John Cena's last match, and the rumor is, or allegedly, or maybe it's official, I don't know, but he's going to open the show, which I could talk about for like 35 minutes why I'm confused by this and why I would not do it that way, but what do I know? So I'm kind of hoping he does open the show, though, because then that'll be my 700th match. But you'll have to tune in next week, because maybe I'll watch something before it. If I watch any wrestling, the next match I watch is 700, which I'm proud of. That's a lot of wrestling matches to watch. Not as many as Hot Joe watched, probably, but who knows. But we're back to another good news, bad news segment of the show. And so normally I would do the good news first, but I'm going to do the bad news first. I'm sorry, but I don't mean to be bad news bears to you guys. Derek Dillinger, Creambassador, Creambassador, Creammeister. I don't remember all the names these guys come up with. He is unable to give a room for Cream this week. And the reason why is because after last week's show and the Hot Joe tracker not working and just me doing it by myself, he got really worried and he went on the road to find Hot Joe. He's hot on his trail. And I actually was able to kind of tweak the Hot Joe tracker to be a Derek tracker. And he was last spotted heading in the right direction. If you give me a moment, I can mess around with this and get him there. But yeah, Derek knew Hot Joe was in danger, potentially. Didn't want him to be in danger. And he knew that he might need to be helped. And that's the kind of friend he is. That's why he's a Creambassador. I don't know who's running Derek's Dripping Wet Tacos while he's gone, but let's see. Okay, so according to this, the last known location of Derek Dillinger in his quest to find Hot Joe to help him get to Portland and move his stuff there, he is at the Garden of 1,000 Buddhas in Lake County, Montana. So he's headed in the right direction, I think. That seems close. But yeah, so we'll have to ask him about that next time he's on, or maybe in his Room for Cream. Hopefully he can do a Room for Cream next week. Hopefully Hot Joe returns, Derek returns. I'm losing it. But the good news, and one of the few things left in life that is keeping me sane, is Creamser, Ronnie Two Legs, sending his Room for Cream. And I'm going to play that, right? Fucking now.
Yeah, hey boys.
Hey.
What's going on? It's your best friend of the show, number one all-time Creamsman.
That's what it was.
Two Legs here. Just calling in this week. I had a Room for Cream, but I just want to address, you know, the disappointment and hurt, honestly, that I felt, you know, from my good buddy Derek. You know, I call in and congratulated him his big win.
Oh, he did. That was last week.
Dreamer and Matt Justice retaining the IW Tag Champs. And he calls in and accuses me of saying that I got sick at his taco restaurant.
Yeah, he did.
I'm not even allowed in Derek's Dripping Wet Tacos. There's a no audio perverts clause. Remember, I'm banned. How could I go in there?
Did he just admit?
I got sick eating at a different place. I mean, I'm not even allowed in there. You know, I wouldn't do something like that. I wouldn't go in that restaurant.
Why would
he? Not allowed. Just like I wouldn't sit in a patent office and get a patent for Ronald's Dirty Water hot dogs and get a hot dog cart and sit outside of Derek's Dripping Wet Tacos selling hot dogs in the parking lot.
You wouldn't do that?
I would never do that.
So sounds like a good idea.
Sorry. I'll be right with you, man. Sorry, I'm on a phone call. I apologize. All right, boys, I got to get going. I'm in an office doing some office work.
He doesn't work in an office.
Noises you hear in the background. It's certainly not me getting a patent for a hot dog cart. All right, boys, I'll see you later. I'm going to grab a Molt Cola. I'm thirsty.
Oh,
love you.
Love Molt Cola. Yeah, there's a lot going on there. That's exciting. So he said that, I mean, I know you just heard it, but I just need to recap it aloud for myself. So he said he wasn't getting a patent to do dirty, what is it? Hot dog water Ron? Dogs? Whatever he said. But I think maybe he was doing exactly that. I could be mistaken, but the saga continues. Feud of the year. I know I've been saying it a couple weeks now, but I don't care. Feud of the year, baby. This is fun. Woo! I hope Derek's gonna... Oh, man. It's probably not the best noise to make for a podcast, but it happened because it was a natural noise. This is exciting. I hope Hot Joe has a bunch of room for creams when he comes back. Because I'm struggling to come up with them sometimes. Just with doing these alone, going kind of, you know, crazy or whatever you want to call it. It's just been rough. But I guess if I have to do a room for cream, I don't have to. I want to. My room for cream this week is Dragon Ball Z. You guys watch Dragon Ball Z? Because I want to watch Dragon Ball Z. I used to watch it, but I only watched like, I don't even know if it was like 5 episodes or like 12 episodes or whatever, but Toonami used to play them in the afternoon. That used to be Cartoon Network's anime thing. And it was just like the same, like I said, like 5 to 12 episodes. And then after they hit the end, they would just start over with that, and I would just see the same ones over and over. And I always wanted to see more, and I always see it online, and it's talked about so much. So I got the thing. I got the app so you could watch it, like the free trial of it. But I'm like, well, before Dragon Ball Z is this Dragon Ball. So I go, I guess I'll watch Dragon Ball when they were kids, and I watched the first couple episodes before. There's fucking 156 episodes of this. And I'm very much enjoying it. I don't know, I'm like 15 in, we'll say. And I'm very much enjoying it. Well, there's some stuff that, you know, it's from like mid to late 80s, so it doesn't age perfectly for everything. But overall, I'm enjoying it. But there's a lot. And then you go to Dragon Ball Z, then I find out there's all these movies. And then there's like other series of it. So then I start looking at the other anime on this thing. They just make like a million episodes of stuff. It's wild. It's a whole world I'm not even familiar with. I respect it. I've watched some anime here and there. But just looking at it like that, man, it's intimidating. It's not helping my head, but it is. Dragon Ball is pretty cool so far. I want to get to Dragon Ball Z, but I like watching all the stuff all the way through. So if you know any animes that I should watch, tell me. There's one Tiger Mask. That's the only wrestling one I could find. Sumo wrestling, but I don't really know sumo wrestling. What else was there? There's other ones, I bet. They have them for everything. There's one. Whatever. It's not. I don't know how to say it, so I'm not gonna. But it's pretty much, it's a zombie show, but it's cats instead of zombies. So anytime you like pet a cat, or like a cat like rubs up against you, you turn into a cat. So like the whole gimmick is just that people can't resist petting cats. That sounds like it's going to be interesting. I'm going to watch that. I'm going to enjoy that, I bet. Probably a little bit, at least. Maybe. Kinda. Sorta. Hopefully. No, I will. But that's, I think that's all I got for this week. Hot Joe, we miss you. Derek, we miss you. All the creamers. Creamer. I miss you. That's all the time we got. We love you, and we wish you the best. Legitimately, though, I'm going crazy. I don't even know who I'm talking to right now.
Fist! You guys, you like to say that you're bigger than us, you're stronger than us, you're faster than us. You, quite frankly, you're better than wrestlers than us. Boys, you are absolutely right. But you see, it's been that way our entire careers. Every time we step into the ring, we're the underdog, boys.
Oh, we're jokes.
But somehow, we made it right here to tonight.
Johnny Gargano, Chuck Taylor.
Gargano!
We've wrestled more times than I care to count at this point. You know, we've accumulated wins. You've dealt us losses. No, but there's a saying that goes... at the end of the night, act one and act two don't matter.
That's right.
The only thing that matters is act three. And tonight just happens to be act three. 3 points on the line and 3.0's last step to the promised land.
What are you gonna do about it?
Ooh, yeah.